Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Wife by S. Doyle, narrated by Loretta Rollins and Alexander Sandis. 1. Ellie. 2 weeks after the storm, a.k.a. the day Jake kissed me. So that happened. Oh, wait. I should probably catch you up with everything. Well, you remember my dad died. I was underage, so Jake stepped up and married me. We agreed to the arrangement until my 18th birthday, except a month before my 18th birthday, a major Arctic blast took out half my herd and 2/3 of my calves. Oh, and Jake's old house on the property he was going to buy back as soon as we got divorced and I gave him the money my dad left him in the will. No house. No money to buy the land. Massively in trouble cattle ranch. What did all of that equal? No divorce. Which meant Jake and I were going to stay married. And you might think, what was the problem with that? After all, we did it for 16 months, no problem. Okay, one problem. About a year in, I started to have feelings. Yeah, those feelings. I fought it. He mostly ignored it, but I could tell he was a little upset about it. He liked me. He didn't want to hurt my feelings when he, you know, divorced my ass. So we pretended I didn't feel anything, which was fine because the divorce was only a couple of months away. Then he would leave, I would get down to the business of running my ranch, and all those feelings would fade away. Except now we weren't getting divorced. Enter problem number 2. Jake had kissed me. I had unhooked my carabiner from the safe line and lost my way in the storm. Thankfully, Jake had found me, but he'd been pissed. Super pissed. Angrier than I had ever seen him. And he'd kissed me. It was hot. It was, well, this is probably going to sound super profound, but the kiss was about life. Two people who had survived, and while the whole feeling thing was weird between us, there was no question we loved each other. We were Ellie and Jake, Jake and Ellie. Now, there was this elephant in the room, because while the kiss had happened under extreme circumstances which we might have been able to write off, him telling me he wanted to do it again, leading to problem number 3. We're married. Jake didn't want folks to think he would ever take advantage of an underage girl, because he wouldn't. Except now I was very close to not being underage, and we had kissed. You're thinking sex was the natural conclusion to that day? You would be wrong. Instead, we'd rented equipment and pulled dead cows out of a pen all day, then buried them in a massive grave. Totally not sexy times. We'd fallen asleep after being dead on our feet, and we didn't talk about the kiss, his stunning confession, and his very real anger at himself for feeling that way. Anger that kind of, sort of, leaked out towards me. It was not fun times. Which gets us to now. 2 weeks later. I don't think I understand what that means, I told Mr. Connolly. Mr. Connolly was the vice president at Heartland Bank. Heartland Bank held the note on Long Valley. I had done some research and had come up with a plan to free Jake. Jake didn't think the plan would work. Still, he'd come with me to the bank.
You're asking for a loan, correct?
That's what it means when you go to the bank and ask them for money. We were going to have to do this anyway. We had to buy more cows if we were going to restore the operation within the next few years. Since I was taking a major hit on what I was going to be able to sell at the end of summer, I was going to have to borrow the money anyway. Not a big deal. We had the land as collateral, and that was worth a lot.
Yes, I said, like he was a little thick. And you and Jake have worked it out and decided to stay married, correct?
I hated the way he said correct after every question. I was digressing. This was part of the plan. I was just going to borrow more money than I needed. Jake and I worked out the numbers. The least amount we needed to borrow to buy the cows to replenish the herd. Then I added $20,000 to that number.
I would pay him his money and we could get divorced. Because, FYI, being married to someone who didn't want to be married to you, also not fun. Which meant we fought about it constantly because I apparently was the only one looking for a way out. I'd told him he had a hero complex and that he should divorce me. He'd told me to shut up. I'd told him I was going to divorce him and he had no say in the matter. He'd told me to shut up. I'd told him about my bank plan and he'd said it wouldn't work. And now it seemed it wasn't working. Does that matter? Mr. Connolly laced his fingers together and gave me what would be my first, but not my last, what I would come to know as the banker smile.
Ellie, I knew your dad. Well, just about my whole life. He was a good man and he ran a solid cattle ranch operation.
Thank you. Jake had warned me to be polite to Mr. Connolly. I hated that it felt like Jake already knew the outcome when I hadn't even asked the question yet.
So you'll forgive my hesitancy in allowing you, a new rancher, to take on a loan of such size without knowing that you'll have Jake's experience working beside you.
Jake's experience? Horse shit! Jake was only 10 years older than I was. Then I realized Jake had something I didn't have. A penis. I know, because I saw it, naked and everything. Not going to lie. I spent a lot of time thinking about Jake's naked penis. This is because I'm a woman, I said.
Oh, here we go, Jake muttered.
Ellie, no, absolutely not. We would never make any kind of decision based on the sex, race, or sexual orientation of a person applying for a loan.
That didn't sound practiced at all.
Mr. Connolly continued.
You have to understand, we're a small bank, and that storm was hard for a lot of folks around here. We have to make good decisions. Giving an 18-year-old person a significant amount of money on the hope that you can return the ranch to good standing on your own, well, that's a risk we can't take. If we knew two experienced persons were working toward that effort, we would be willing to consider a loan given the value you have in the land.
I leaned forward to make my point. I don't think you get it. He doesn't want to be married to me.
Ellie, shut up,
Jake interjected. We're fine, Mr. Connolly. We're going to stay married for the time being, until we can get Long Valley back to what it was. What happens now? The banker's smile was back. Now, all of Mr. Connolly's attention was focused on Jake, even though it was my ranch and my loan. Mr. Connolly walked us through everything that would be required while I sat and basically seethed, because little did Mr. Connolly know I ran the money in our house. I would be pulling together all the documents required, filling out the application. We left the bank, and I allowed my anger to explode as I punched the air. That was bull. That was sexism, ageism, all the isms.
Get over it, Ellie. That's how life works.
So unfair.
It is, but it's done. We'll get the money. We'll get the operation back up and running. Today was a good day.
I looked at Jake and wanted to scream. We were trapped together for the undefined future.
Well, worst case was until I turned 21. My mom had a life insurance policy that when she died, my dad put into a trust for me. It wasn't a ton of money, but enough to pay off Jake and the loan we just applied for.
Want to grab some lunch? Jake asked me.
Internally, I sighed. 3 years. It wasn't that long of a time, but it was also forever. Because now we had the elephant living with us, and it didn't look like Jake had any intention of addressing it.
Sure, I said.
We made our way to the diner and took our normal booth. Kathy stopped by with smiles and coffee for both of us.
What do you think people are going to say? I asked.
About what?
Jake said from behind his menu. About us, now that we're staying married.
He shrugged.
We could make a statement,
I suggested. That got his attention.
What are you talking about?
Famous people do it all the time. You send out a statement saying what went down. That way, there's no speculation. It's just out there.
We're not famous.
We're famous in Riverbend, Jake.
He leaned back in the booth.
Okay, I'll humor you. What will this statement say? That, because of the storm, circumstances require we continue our platonic marriage of convenience.
He laughed. You want to tell people we're not having sex?
Yes. I know it's one of the reasons you've been so mad.
I haven't been mad at you, Ellie.
Well, it feels like it, Jake. That had him snapping his mouth closed. Anyway, I carried on. I know it bothers you that people might think that of you, especially now that we're going to stay married. If we tell everyone up front, then it's out there, as fact.
Jake leaned forward across the table. Ellie, we make a statement that we're not having sex, and everyone is going to think we've been fucking our brains out. We say nothing, then at least it leaves it open for debate.
I was not going to think about how I felt after a statement like, fucking our brains out. Nor was I thinking about what that might look like with his naked penis.
What are you going to do for 3 years?
About what?
Sex, Jake. Sex. Are you going to be making more trips to Missoula?
Ellie, he said with a warning tone, I'm not having this conversation with you.
I held up my hands. Sorry, you don't get to pull that anymore. I'm going to be 18 next week. You have needs. I get that. What about me? I have needs too, Jake.
It was very unfortunate timing on my part, as Kathy chose just that moment to come by to take our orders. Her expression was as awkward as I felt.
Like, right now, I need a tuna open melt sandwich with American. I smiled at Kathy. Got it. Open tea with Am. You, Jake?
I'll do the same.
Yep. Be back in a few minutes. It should only take a few minutes, Kathy said, basically letting us know her schedule so we could plan our sex conversation accordingly.
Jake just gave me the look.
Okay, I said. Awkward. Fine. But that doesn't change anything. We've mutually agreed we're not going to satisfy those needs for each other, so I want to know how we're going to do this for 3 fucking years.
You shouldn't swear.
Fuck you.
That made him smile. Okay. You're saying we need new rules. But do we have to do this now and here at Frank's?
No, I allowed. I only wanted to put it out there that we can't run away from the conversation. And the kid card no longer applies. Next week, I'm an adult, and I want to be treated that way.
Fine.
Fine, I returned. Speaking of, what are you getting me for my birthday? We don't have any money left, so you're going to have to be creative. Like, baking a cake would totally count this year.
I'm not baking you a cake.
I love cake.
I'm not baking you a cake, he repeated.
Because men don't bake? Some of the world's most famous pastry chefs are men.
I don't bake because I burn stuff.
Well, you have to get me something. I am your wife.
Weird. I used to throw that line around all the time as a joke. Now it didn't feel anywhere as funny. I have an idea, but it's a surprise.
I clapped. I loved surprises. I especially loved guessing what the surprise was going to be. Just so long as it's not practical, I reminded him. Wire cutters for Christmas? What had he been thinking?
Yep.
Kathy came back with our tuna melt, and luckily, we were back on to the basics of the ranch and the myriad of things that still needed to be done to clean up from the storm. There we sat, the two of us at Frank's, where it was now officially concluded
we would remain married for the next 3 years.
Yep, me and my husband, not really, Jake, in our booth at Frank's.
2. Jake, April. Here's something that sucks. Once the attraction switch goes on, you can't turn it off. The desire, the want, it's always there. You can use your brain to control your dick, but you can't stop your dick from wanting what it wants. In some ways, Janet had been right. I'd been pretty smug about the whole living with Ellie thing. I felt sure that as a good man, and I thought of myself as that, influenced more so by Ellie's father than my own useless one, that I wouldn't have any impure or lustful thoughts about a girl who was both young and vulnerable. And I didn't. Until I did. Now I can control my actions. I can tell myself not to think about her in that way. I can work myself until I'm so bone-weary tired every night that sex is the last thing on my mind. That had been working pretty well so far. Except tonight was Ellie's 18th birthday. Her real present was still waiting for her at home. I faked her out with the no-present thing this morning and told her I was taking her out tonight instead as her gift. And it was a gift. Tonight was under 21 night at the country line dance bar I had brought Janet to a year ago. And tonight, I was here with Ellie. She and Chrissy were dressed up in their tightest jeans and cutest western shirts, shaking, kicking, and stomping their asses all over the place. Meanwhile, I stoically stood in the corner, sipping on a beer and letting them have their fun. I watched her. She was beautiful, graceful, and smooth on the dance floor, with a smile so wide any guy would turn his head to see it. She'd suffered so much tragedy in her short life, but Ellie was filled with this bright light. It made her glow. But of course, I could do nothing and say nothing. I had managed to avoid our needs talk, but now I was seeing maybe it had to happen. Maybe there needed to be rules. Because as I was standing here stoically in my corner, I watched as other guys her age asked her to dance. I watched as guys my age asked her to dance. I stayed in my corner. I didn't say a thing, mostly because I knew who she was going home with tonight. But I burned inside. When the one guy's hand moved down her back toward her ass, when the other guy had her pressed up against his chest as he moved her around the dance floor, when that last guy bent to say something in her ear and she tipped her head in a way that made me think he was going to kiss her neck. All of it was gut-wrenching. It sucked because I couldn't control it. Nope. Once the switch was on, it stayed on. There was no going back. That kiss had changed things. That day had changed things, too. Now I was stuck in this marriage, platonic of my own choosing, lusting after my wife who was dancing with other guys. I should ask Ellie where she would put that on the scale of 1 to 10 of suckiness, because I was going with a solid 9. The last dance ended and the girls peeled away from the crowd. Ellie searched the bar for me, and it felt good when her eyes landed on me, like it was important to her to know I had her back. She bounced over, tipped her cowgirl hat back on her head, and tried again.
"Come dance with me."
"I don't dance," I replied, just like I had every other time she asked.
"I'll show you the moves. It's so easy, and you're in a line of people, so it's not like you stand out or anything."
I turned to her friend. "Chrissy, what one particular thing do you know about me?"
"You don't dance,"
she said, then giggled. It was a funny giggle, like a drunk giggle, even though she was wearing the pink wristband which announced her age. "I don't dance," I told Ellie, and then I watched as Chrissy swayed a bit on her feet. That wasn't dance swaying. That was drunk swaying. Shit.
"What?"
Ellie asked. "Chrissy, what are you drinking?"
"Diet Coke,"
she said, holding up her red solo cup. "Chrissy, another thing you should know about me? I'm not an idiot. What are you drinking?" Ellie turned to her friend.
"You're drinking without me? That's so not fair. It's my birthday."
Chrissy winced. Apparently, she saw the selfishness of her actions.
"Okay, so maybe this guy bought a shot of rum for me and put it in my drink. Okay, maybe there were like 4 shots."
"Not cool." I looked at my watch. "It's after 11. I don't want to ruin your birthday or anything."
"No, it's fine. I'm getting kind of tired and my feet hurt in these boots."
"No,"
Chrissy protested.
"I think I'm in love."
"Point him out and then go wait for me by the door." Ellie narrowed her eyes at me.
"Jake, let it go. Chrissy was just being Chrissy. She probably asked for them."
A shot I let go. Maybe 2, not 4. And knowing Chrissy, it was more like 5. Which means some asshole is trying to get her drunk so he can take advantage of her.
What do I always tell you?
Trust no one. Great motto, by the way.
Trust no one. Never a guy, and not with your drinks. It sucks that there are creeps out there in the world, but they exist, and you have to watch for them. Now hold on to her while I go deal. Chrissy, which one? Chrissy lifted her hand in the guy's general direction. I saw who it was instantly, as he was staring at Chrissy. Not a good kind of stare, either. He was waiting for the booze to do the trick. It wasn't until I was almost on him that he straightened up. When I got up close and could see the face under the cowboy hat, the motherfucker was easily over 30. You like to feed underage girls drinks? I said to him. It wasn't a question. The guy got his back up. She asked for a drink, so I bought her one. Big deal. Even though her wristband clearly showed she was under legal age? Whatever, dude. I'll move on if you're upset. What I am is sickened by the thought a man almost, what, double her age? Tried to get her drunk so he could do... And what was the plan, anyway? Dude, go fuck yourself. I was trying to have a little fun. I nodded like I was in agreement. Yeah, I get it. No confidence, or self-esteem, or whatever it is you're missing that makes you think a girl will only like you if she's drunk. You're a pathetic piece of shit. And I'm sorry people refer to you as a man. Fuck you, I can get any piece I want. I turned to the bartender. I'll take... I turned and eyed up the guy. 7 shots of Fireball. The bartender lined them up quickly in front of me and just poured through the glasses. You want to show me what a man you are? You feed the girl who is half your age and half your size 4 shots. Let's see how you do after 7. The man grimaced, as if seeing the numbers made him realize exactly what he'd done. Or at least I hoped I made my point. Then the man sneered. Fuck you. Dude, trust me, the only thing you're going to be fucking tonight is your right hand. Have a solid jerk off, douchebag. Try not to think of me when you do. I took one of the shots and fired it down. Yeah, I drawled. Little pussy like you? You probably don't want to drink those. Bartender, you want to pass those out to those pretty ladies in the corner and tell them I said to stay away from this guy?
Sure thing, bro.
I made my way to the girls where Ellie was talking to the bouncer and pointing back at the asshole. He nodded. Yeah, I know the guy comes here all the time on under 21 night. He's an asshat. I'll take care of it, honey.
Thanks, Bob.
Have a nice rest of your birthday. She beamed at the guy.
It was the best birthday ever.
That made me happy, that I had given her a fun night. I followed the girls to my truck as Chrissy bobbed and weaved from side to side.
I'm still so pissed at you for not sharing,
Ellie was hissing at her. You know I can hear you, right? She turned and gave me her what-I'm-so-innocent smile.
And I wanted her.
Nope, not a switch you can turn off. We dropped drunk Chrissy off at home. It wasn't pretty. After who knows how many shots, she was wasted. The good news was her parents were in bed, so it went down with little drama. Ellie and I poured her through the front door, and she was on her own. Make it to her bedroom or bust. Then we drove to Ellie's place. Her place, our place, my place? I called it the house. Long Valley was the ranch. The house was the house. It wasn't hers or ours. It was just the house. Not a home, either. Which in some ways made me sad, but I was a guy, and we typically don't get sad. For myself, I simply try to force it away. Forcing away sadness was a lot like trying to force away desire. It wasn't always easy. I had set the wrapped gift up on the kitchen island before we left for the bar. I wanted it to be the first thing she saw when we got home. Ellie always poured herself a glass of water right before bed, so as soon as we got inside, she made her way to the kitchen. I heard the gasp and smiled. I liked that I'd made her gasp. I followed her into the kitchen, and she was holding the box to her chest, like it didn't matter at all what was inside it. Hell, I probably could have wrapped an empty box, and she would have been happy with that. I liked that she was that kind of girl, the kind of girl who understood that it was truly the thought that counted.
What is it?
Open it and find out. She started to tear through my very bad wrapping job.
Did you get me what I asked for?
You asked for a vibrator? No, I did not get you what you asked for.
The gift of pleasure, Jake. You shouldn't mock it.
She opened the lid on the box and slid out the styrofoam. Then, when she opened that, she gasped again. Nestled inside was a beautiful silver scale. 2 discs balanced on either side and 2 containers with 5 silver discs in each. She set it up on the table and opened the silver discs, holding one in her fingers. You're always going on about your scale of 1 to 10. I felt a little awkward, because she wasn't saying anything, just looking at it thoughtfully, as if it were a puzzle to be solved instead of a scale. Figured now you had the actual physical representation of it?
I love it,
she said quietly. Then she turned to me.
You always give the best gifts.
I nodded and waited for it. My hug. Every year I gave her a gift, and every year she hugged me for it. Not this year, apparently, because instead of hugging me, she was playing with the discs and putting them on the scale, all 10 on one side.
Today,
she said. And that had to be enough, because it was all I was going to get.
Good night, Jake.
Good night, Ellie. Happy birthday. She got her water and went upstairs, and I stood there like a statue for what was definitely too long, fighting off the disappointment that I didn't get my hug, because it was all I would let myself have. I wanted it really badly.
3. Ellie. June, graduation day. I was not going to be disappointed. He told me he would do absolutely everything he could do to be here today, but he couldn't control when the foal was going to come. That's right, I forgot to say, we were having a baby. Well, not us. We weren't having a baby because we weren't having sex. No sex at all for us. No siree, Bob. I went to school and we worked really hard and we never even considered having sex. Jake didn't anyway. Me, not so much. I thought about it. A lot. A lot. Are you feeling me? Anyway, Jake put Wyatt to stud on Isabella, who he'd bought just for that purpose, and now Isabella was due any moment. Javier and Gomez were back and living in the bunkhouse, but I knew Jake wanted to be there for the birth. After all, this was his precious Wyatt who was about to become a father. Let's face it. Jake was most definitely hoping for a boy that would one day fill Wyatt's shoes when he was too old to carry Jake. So I understood completely if he couldn't make it to my graduation. It was a stupid thing anyway. Caps and gowns, long, boring speeches, and then everyone having their name called out. If he could make it, he was going to take me to dinner afterwards to celebrate, and then we were going to go to Pete's for drinks. That's right. I said we were going to Pete's for drinks. It seemed, as a high school graduate, I was now mature enough to have a few beers. If he couldn't make it, though, then plan B was to go out with Chrissy and her parents for dinner and then go with Chrissy to Pete's. Either way, Pete's was happening. It was a Riverbend tradition that Pete officially started not caring about fake IDs once he knew you were no longer in high school. A bunch of kids from my class would be there tonight. Then, if he could, Jake would meet me at Pete's later. Which was pretty much what it looked like was going to happen, because as I sat on the stage behind the principal and looked out over the crowd, I didn't see him anywhere. It wasn't a large group. We were only a class of 86, and since we all knew each other's families, it wasn't hard to see who was here and who was not. I noticed Bobby McPherson's dad was not. Just his mom. It almost made me feel bad for him. I knew there was trouble there, and I knew Bobby had spent the last year basically being angry at the world. He'd left me alone, so I shouldn't have cared at all. I guess I knew what it was like not to have a parent in your life. His dad wasn't dead, but sometimes it was harder if they chose to leave you. For my dad, there had been no choice. He'd be here now if he could be. I knew that. Or not, because if he'd had a mare about to drop a foal, he probably would have told me the same thing as Jake. I smiled and lifted my head to the ceiling of the auditorium and smiled at him and hoped somewhere in the universe he saw it. Then, as we all stood for the Pledge of Allegiance, I saw him. He was jogging down the row of chairs, holding his tie against his chest. Still in his neatly pressed jeans, but he'd gone so far as to wear a tie and jacket. He found an empty seat along the aisle and stood in front of it. He looked up at the stage to find me, and when his eyes hit on me, I waved. He raised his chin and smiled. He made it. To my graduation, which meant we were going to get to have dinner and then he was going to take me to Pete's. I thought about my scale that I kept in full display on the kitchen counter and mentally moved all my discs to the right side. The right side was for good stuff, the left for bad. Then it occurred to me that Jake, just by being Jake,
gave me a lot of 10 days. I was in my best dress, blue with
sample complete. Ready to continue?